Welcome to the Beacon Blitz Podcast, a weekly recap of the biggest moments from high school football in the greater Akron area. Brought to you by the sports reporters of the Beacon Journal. Here are your hosts, Michael Bevan, Ashley Bastock, and Michael Leonard.
Welcome to the Beacon Blitz Podcast, a weekly recap of the greatest moments from high school football in the greater Akron area. I'm Ashley Bastock, joined alongside Michael Bevan and Michael Leonard, and we have lots of 8-week action to discuss here in the waning days of the regular season. So we're going to start with Michael Bevan. You were at the Holy War as Archbishop Hoban got a big 42-7 win over St. Vincent St. Mary.
Yes, yeah, Hoban, this is the 7th year in a row they've won this regular season game to retain the Shillelagh Trophy, and it's 9 games overall is the current streak when you include 2 playoff wins at the beginning of this Hoban run of, you know, a lot of wins and state championships, 5 state titles in the past 6 years, and tonight it was a lot of what Hoban's been doing these in recent times, running the ball effectively on offense and playing really good defense. Very good tackling on defense, guys staying in their positions in their lanes. And then on offense, really good offensive line play. And then on top of that, Lamar Sperling happened. So once again this week, Lamar Sperling with another really good standout performance. He had a huge game against Walsh Jesuit earlier this season. Tonight, once again, in a rivalry setting, he goes for 217 yards on 20 carries, runs for 4 touchdowns, and threw a touchdown pass to Sean Parnell. So he really was the main force on offense for Hoban. It was pretty obvious what the game plan was, especially at the beginning, to establish the running game. The first 7 plays for Hoban's offense were Sperling runs, and fortunately for them, you know, he scored twice. He scored 2 rushing touchdowns there in the first quarter to really establish himself, and from there, Hoban just relied on his defense. Some really good play from guys like Tyson Grimm and Tyson Campbell and so forth, so a nice night for the Knights. And that offensive line, they're really experienced with several seniors up front, and they really do a nice job.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fitting, having seen Hoban play, too, how good that line is, given everything that Sperling provides. And each night when there was a scoring update, I'm like, man, Lamar Sperling again? Like, he could just not be stopped in a blowout win for Hoban in that rivalry game. Now, on to on to Michael Leonard here. You were at Nordonia as Stowe rebounded from a loss last week against Wadsworth in week 7 with a 27-13 win tonight over the Knights.
Yes, this was a game that Stowe frankly had to have after what happened last week against Wadsworth. Another loss on the Suburban League National Conference, and the Bulldogs could kiss their hopes of a division title goodbye. But they came through, and they came through who was showing an awful lot of character, Ashley, because not only did they lose last week against Wadsworth, they also lost quarterback Echo Bainbridge as to a shoulder injury last week. He told me that he hopes to be back in time for the playoffs. We'll see if that happens. But so without their main man as their quarterback, Stowe simply went into almost run exclusive mode. And the bottom line is that this was old school 70s style smash mouth football with a little bit of wildcat thrown in. And Stowe just punched Nordonia in the mouth a couple times, about 100 times until they fell over. As you said, 27-13 was the final. Xavier Preston and really stepped up in this one. He had a beautiful old 71 yard touchdown run on the first quarter, which kind of set the tone for the game. Bounced off a tackler in the backfield and just outraced everybody. To get that touchdown. He finished the night with 25 runs for 193 yards. That's exactly what you want to see out of your running back. He also played the quarterback position in the Wildcat formation that Stowe was running. But really, the guy that was may have been the MVP for the Knights tonight is junior or Teddy Gregory, their linebacker, and also he was one of the 2 fullbacks that they ran in the 3-man I formation when they were forced to go to the run. Gregory had a fake punt that he turned into a first down. He was all over the field on defense, and he also popped in 2 touchdowns. Downs 1 of 4 yards and 1 of 32 yards. Really a wonderful performance from him from all around. He admitted to me that he was absolutely ticked off after last week's loss against Wadsworth. He wanted to be on the field again the next day, and he played like it tonight. Stowe is back in contention now, and what this game does is really once again set up that Week 10 clash with Hudson as kind of being an end-all, be-all, end-all game in the Suburban League National Conference.
Yeah, that game at this point comes up just about every week, and for good reason. Still on track for it to be a really, really meaningful, not just rivalry game, but game in terms of who wins the conference this year. And thank you for the answers on Owen Bainbridge. I'm sure there were people kind of following along and wondering why they didn't see his name out there today. So there's your answer. That's why.
I can confirm, Ashley, that he was actually in a shoulder sling in for the entire contest. So let's try and get him back out there. He couldn't just try and play through it a la what Baker Mayfield tried to do last week for the Browns with a bad shoulder. This was his throwing shoulder actually that was separated. So he may be questionable for the rest of the season.
Sure. Well, I was not at a game tonight like I usually would be. I was keeping track of all of the area goings-on for our running live update story that we continuously update. And the big one that caught my eye that I know wanted to talk about here a little bit more was Barberton handing Aurora its first loss of the year, 14-6. And with that win, Barberton moves into first place in the Suburban League American Conference. And the Magic's never trailed in this game. Early in the third quarter, Barberton was able to expand its lead after holding a 7-6 lead at the half. The Magic stripped the ball as the Greenmen were marching down the field on an 11-play drive. And then Cameron Macon got the score there to make it 14-6. And Macon also got Barberton's first touchdown as well, a 26-yard run on that play to put the Magic's up 7-0 in the first quarter. And like I already said, they had a narrow 7-6 lead at halftime. Aurora got a TD there in the second quarter, but Barberton blocked the extra point. And, man, talk about a huge, huge win for the Magic's this week.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly, Ashley. I had the Greenmen picked as my favorite to go all the way to the D3 title this year. I wonder if they were put off a little bit by the fact that they didn't play last week because their game with Kent Roosevelt was canceled due to COVID reasons. But it's one of those situations that you want to see them try to come back from. Elsewhere in the American Conference, by the way, Ashley, Talmadge was able to get back on track this week as they took on Kent Roosevelt, who was able to get back on the field after the COVID issues. They were victorious by a score of 44-12 over the Rough Riders. I don't want to say that Talmadge Barberton in week 10 could be for a league title, but it looks like it might be at this point. And if Talmadge is able to win out.
Yeah, that win for Barberton is certainly an impressive one. I saw them a few weeks ago where Cameron Macon was running very effectively behind their offensive line and their victory at Highland. They gave Highland their first loss of the season. Now they come back and give Aurora their first loss of the season. So that's huge. I mean, those are huge playoff points for Barberton there in Division II, and they certainly are well on their way to having a home game in the first round of playoffs.
Yeah, and I don't think I mentioned it, but Macon ran the ball on the second touchdown that Barberton scored, which, you know, technically the first touchdown was the deciding touchdown, considering they held them to 6 points. But after that fumble, Cameron Macon ran the ball back 70 yards. So what a game for him, and definitely a guy whose name we've heard over and over and over again so far this year.
Right. And I'm assuming we didn't see the game, obviously, but I would imagine that John Jackson and Roosevelt Andrews probably had an impact on defense for the Magic. Those are two guys that are going to be playing Division I college football.
Yeah.
Having spoken to Cameron, the opportunity to speak to Cameron earlier this week, very humble, very erstwhile young man. It's good to see him succeeding. But Coach Tony Gatto told me that when the chips were down against Aurora, he definitely was going to shove the ball in the Bacon's bread basket every time he got. Elsewhere in the American Conference, guys, speaking of big games for next week, Highland Hornets having no problem whatsoever with Cuyahoga Falls, beating them by a score of 62-0, which sets up what they refer to as the Battle of the Green in the American Conference next week over at Highland. Highland playing host to Aurora. If either one of these teams wants to have any hope of getting into the American Conference title, winning next week is absolutely paramount.
Yeah, and into the National Conference, Hudson also getting a big win over North Royalton, bouncing back this week from their loss last week against Ordonia. 31-0 against North Royalton. And then Brecksville getting a big win over Twinsburg, 45-7.
Yes, Ryan Evans for Hudson ran for two touchdowns tonight and also caught a touchdown pass from Jagger Filet. I was able to see them last week when Nordonia secured their big victory. So the Hudson Explorers get back on track in the win column.
And Norton remains, keeps their winning ways going. They beat Springfield 56-0 tonight.
That was a tough pill for Springfield to swallow. And but elsewhere here in the Metro Athletic Conference, Woodridge picked up its third win in a row, pulling out a late eight touchdown by Kamari Mitchell to take out the Cloverleaf if at home by the final of 17-13. Guys, I don't know if you've ever heard of this situation before. Or by the way, because of the game that got postponed between Woodridge and Springfield earlier this season because of COVID reasons, the Bulldogs and the Hogs and the Spartans are actually going to be playing each other on Tuesday. You heard that right. There's going to be Tuesday night football on the MAC, the Metro Athletic Conference again, as Springfield's going to be hosting a makeup game with Woodridge before the Woodridge moves on to take on Streetsboro next Friday. So it's going to be a busy week for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, midweek, that's three football games in 8 days.
Yeah, midweek high school in action. What a fun time.
Yeah, it'll be on ESPN 10.
So, no. Imagine the MAC conference shaking over the deal that the high school MAC conference has gotten for itself.
Yes, ESPN 8, the Ocho, like in Dodgeball, the movie back in the day. I had heard about that. We need to check in on that because that is very unique to play three football games in a matter of 8 days.
If I know Jeff Decker and company, he said they're actually up and ready for the challenge, and I think they will be. But having to play three in 7 days, like you said, is a very, very trying thing, Mike. And by the way, they've got to deal with Streetsboro at the end of this. The same Rocket Squad that bounced back from their loss against Norton last week, by absolutely shellacking Hank Field. I believe the final was over 62-7. By the way.
And the one game that I did want to mention in the City Series, and Michael Bevin, if you have any more to add about this one, but East did beat Kenmore Garfield tonight 28-0, but officials actually called that game early. They called it at some point in the fourth quarter, following multiple fights in the stands among spectators. So the game was called after that point. I believe it was the second fight that broke out in the night, and stadium cleared out, everyone cleared out of the press box. So a win for East, but yeah, not a full game played there.
Right, yeah, we had a writer, Zach Bush, at that game at Ellen High School. East, like you said, East won 28-0 over Kenmore Garfield. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, two fights in the crowd is what was reported. Nobody wants to see that. I mean, that's not good. We won't focus too much on that. As far as the victory for the Dragons, junior quarterback Justin Cox threw three touchdown passes, so that's a positive. Luther Darasaw caught the first one, and then Eric Holly and Tristan Thomas also had a touchdown reception for the Dragons. But, yeah, the fighting, nobody wants to see that. Last night there was a game at Ellett between Firestone and Ellett where everything was good to go. There was no problems. Firestone won that game 21-0 with a good defensive effort and three rushing touchdowns by their quarterback Prince Winchester. So, two City Series games in the books, and then one more tomorrow with North and Butchel.
Yeah.
One last thing to report from our friends over in the Principals Athletic Conference, by the way, Ashley. After an 0-2 start, Manchester had rattled off five straight wins in order to get their season back and going. They were taking on Fairless tonight with first place in the pack on the line. It ended up coming up just short. Fairless is remaining undefeated with a 41-40 victory over the Panthers. So Manchester still playing, I think, some of their best football as the season comes down to the stretch. Also, elsewhere in the pack, CVCA was able to end its three-game losing streak by taking out Orville tonight. Final over in Wayne County was 41-7 for the Royals, who are able to get back to 4-4 and 500 as we hit the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and with the City Series, that's obviously very unfortunate with the fighting. On the positive note, to try to promote our stories, we did have a couple stories this week about Eric Holly III of East. and a young man by the name of Damian Martin and Kenmore Garfield, both having really solid seasons. And, you know, those are kind of positives leading into that game. And then a story on Lamar Sperling, who lived up to the billing tonight, and George Lindberger from St. Vincent St. Mary, another talented running back. So, as usual, Summit County, we have a lot of talented running backs across the board and in every league and in the independent portion of schools as well. So we'll see what Week 9 brings. The weather's been pretty good here. I mean, it got a little rainy here tonight, but we've had some really nice weather. We'll see if it holds out for another week. But we know that these teams can definitely run football.
Yeah, that's definitely a common denominator this year. All right, well, that about wraps up Week 8, I think. So you can find Michael Bevin on Twitter at mbevinabj. You can find Michael Leonard on Twitter at mleonard_abj. You can find me at ashleybastock42. Be sure to check out all of our Beacon Blitz coverage over at beaconjournal.com. You can also find that on Twitter. Follow the Akron Beacon Journal account at Beacon Journal. And until next time, we will see you on the sidelines in Week 9.